John, as always, good to have you with me.
Thanks for asking me.
Volleys exchanged this week in the U.S. Senate race. We saw both Lincoln and Bozeman launch some new TV ads. Lincoln's becoming more aggressive on Bozeman's support of a fair tax proposal. But Bozeman's fighting back, saying Lincoln's the tax raiser, that he'd actually fight for lower taxes. Kind of cut through all this clutter for me here. What are we going to get if we reelect Lincoln as our next senator? What are we going to get if Bozeman is our next U.S. senator?
If you reelect Lincoln and the Senate majority holds for the Democrats, which Karl Rove says it will now that strange woman in Delaware got that Republican nomination, then she'll remain head of the Agriculture Committee, and Arkansas farmers will be in good shape, and Arkansas rural communities will be in good shape for rural development grants through USDA. Her experience at bringing the bucks will, I think, is the main thing she has going for. If we elect Bozeman, I've said sort of tackily that we'll be giving Oklahoma its third senator. He'll be a standard Republican. He's a doctrinaire Republican, votes a straight party line. But it may be that that's what the people of the state want right now. We may be so concerned about this exploding deficit, the debt, that every time Blanche Lincoln tells us she'll bring us some money, we're just saying to her, no, thank you. We don't want it. And that seems to be the choice. A well-positioned spender on the Democratic side, the incumbent, against what may or may not be a new Republican initiative to really try to drive this deficit down.
Well, John Bozeman has been at the center of this fair tax controversy. Blanche Lincoln certainly made it a centerpiece of her differences with him. Do you think that Bozeman's going to actually push for a fair tax proposal if he wins the Senate seat?
No, I don't think he'll push for a fair tax proposal. I don't think he's one of the leaders in that movement. I think he signed on to a bill that a lot of his Republican House colleagues signed on to. I think he knows that a lot of his constituents in Arkansas are intrigued by this idea of getting rid of the Internal Revenue Service and replacing and getting away with the income tax and setting up some sort of national sales tax. A lot of people have the misguided notion, I think, that that's fair. I think probably the truest thing Bozeman said about it was on the front page of the Democrat Gazette one day when he said, just because I sponsored it doesn't mean I'm for it. I think he's interested in the idea. I think it's politically advantageous for him to associate himself with it, but there are a lot of questions about it. I don't think it's anywhere near the top of whatever agenda he intends to take to the Senate if he gets there.
A big development in the Senate race this week was Lincoln's vote based on a procedural motion to oppose the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal. And now this has upset another part of her Democratic base, which was already kind of unsteady. How, if at all, does she turn this lemon into lemonade?
This is the strangest development of the week. And I spent a good part of one day this week trying to figure it out and actually spending a few minutes on the phone with Senator Lincoln trying to hear from her why she behaved as she did. And I'm as confused as ever after talking with her. Basically, what she did was issue a news release stating four squarely, I favor these two politically incendiary amendments. I want to let the military repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and I want to allow illegal immigrant youth who go into our armed sources or into college for 2 years to get on a path to citizenship. So she bit the liberal bullet, and she did that. But then when it comes time to vote, she votes no. She votes for the Republicans. After having incurred the right-wing wrath, she decided to go out and incur the left-wing wrath. She said it's solely because of procedure. Harry Reid said we can have no more amendments. These are the only amendments we're going to have. She had eight amendments to spend some money in Arkansas that she's not going to get to do. So she voted no. That's her explanation. I take her at her word. But it is as if she said, I'm going to go out here and see if I can't make everybody mad with one vote. I did it on health care. I think I can do it again. That's what it looks like to me. It's an extraordinary thing that she keeps getting herself right in the vortex of our political passions.
You've had a chance to pour through this copious polling data that's out there on this race. Do you see anything that's going to shift this race? Everybody says this race is going to tighten up at some point in time. What's going to make it tighten?
Here's what's going to make it tighten. If Blanche Lincoln has enough money to hammer two things and maybe three. One is this fair tax. If she has enough money to scare people into thinking this Bozeman is going to go up there, and while he may do away with the income tax, he's going to make me pay 30 cents on the dollar or 30 on my lawnmower purchase, that can begin to erode his support. His interest in allowing people to keep part of their Social Security for their own investment, that's the third rail of politics. If she can frighten people into thinking this guy threatens even more than is normally the case, the solvency of our Social Security system, that's a problem. Those two, I think, if she had enough money and got her message clear enough, it could really peel some points off Bozeman. Third, it may be that as we get closer to this election, the fact that she is positioned to deliver, and I know there's an aversion to spending, but unilateral disarmament by Arkansas from federal projects is not going to solve our deficit problem. Not having to bail out our bankrupt economy, not fighting two wars at once, that's what will solve our deficit problem. I just think that those three things together could make this, in the end, a mildly close race. Not a real close one, but a mildly close one.
There's been a lot of other action in politics this week. We don't have time to cover it all, but I'll give you your pick, a congressional race or constitutional race. What's been the most interesting political development this week to you, and why?
Well, it's the 4th District congressional race, and before Mike Ross gets too frightened, I'm not suggesting he's in great trouble. He is, but here's the situation. Mike Ross is the quintessential electable Arkansas Democrat. He's conservative to moderate centrist. He finesses the conservatism of his rural South Arkansas constituency with his ability to work with his national, more liberal National Democratic Party to get things done. And he has an A-plus rating from the NRA. He is the classic example of how conservative to moderate Democrats get elected in Arkansas. I think he will get elected again. However, he's opposed by Beth Ann Rankin, who is a beauty pageant winner who used to work for Mike Huckabee and who is pulling her hair back now and wearing glasses and looks a lot like Sarah Palin and talking a lot like Sarah Palin. And she just got the Tea Party endorsement. And her message and the Tea Party's message is, Mike Ross gave you health care reform by playing footsie with Nancy Pelosi. Now, he can say, I voted against health care reform on the House floor. I voted against budget reconciliation when it came back from the negotiations. I voted against it. He can say, when it came before the Energy and Commerce Committee, I led a coalition of Blue Dog conservative Democrats to make the bill better, to protect rural hospitals, to save some money, to help Medicare, all those things that he could say that in the past would have been lay down hands for him. But I think right now, Beth Ann Rankin and her Tea Party supporters can say, yeah, but you voted to get it out of committee after you made it better. Yes, you held it up, but then you voted it to the floor. And they can say, we wouldn't have health care reform if you hadn't, in the end, done the bidding of Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama. I cite that because, not that I think he's in great trouble, even though I think this will be closer than we imagine, but this is the pressure point of Arkansas politics right now. The kind of thing that, as recently as a year or two ago, a Democrat could do to remain popular in Arkansas but attend to the national interest, finessing all of that, I think there's a percolating message out there or a percolating feeling among some conservative people that, you know, maybe if we really want to oppose the liberal agenda, we ought not be electing people who go up there and reduce it or pare it back. Maybe we're Republicans. I think that's what's going on in Arkansas right now. Conservative people who've always been Democrats are now being given reason to wonder if they're not Republicans. I think that is the real issue in Arkansas right now.
All right. He is John Brummett with the Arkansas News Bureau. John, as always, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.